It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Experience an indescribable encounter with God through the word preached by Reverend Dr. Peter Saki, a medical doctor by profession, called by God as an end-time apostle and prophet. He has been given the mandate to set captives free and deliver the oppressed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word by Reverend Dr. Saki.
Praise God. Hallelujah. One more time, dearly beloved, I'm here with you, bringing you God's Word. And I know that even as the Word of God is coming, something is going to happen in your life. And what is going to happen to you and in your life? Anytime the Word of God comes, it comes with blessings. So today, the blessings of God is going to overtake you. It's going to say, if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, he will set you high above over the nations of the world. So when the Word of God comes and we obey, God lifts us up and he sets us up way and high above. So this time, one more time, the Word of God is coming to you. It's such a joy, great excitement to be coming to you in your homes, wherever you are, with the Word of God. And I know that you are ready. So I want us to pray briefly as we receive the Word. Holy Father, we are ready for your Word. We ask that you open our hearts, grant us understanding. We receive grace to be doers of your Word, that we shall be fruitful in every good work. And Lord, we will give you the glory now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about how to build our confidence in prayer. We need to have confidence and build our faith in prayer. We spoke about the Word of God. We spoke about praying in faith. We spoke about the role of faith in our prayer lives. And the source of our faith should be the fact that God is able and God is willing and God is faithful and God is caring. We also saw that our faith must be based and built in the Word of God. And so we've seen from the Word of God that we cannot be effective in our prayer lives without faith. Faith is very crucial in our prayer lives. Jesus said, "Why did you not exercise your faith?" They were praying, saying, "Increase our faith." And Jesus said, "If you have a little faith, you can do exploits." So faith in prayer is so important. Hallelujah. Now, the Word of God says in Psalm 119, verse 89, he said, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Word of God says that all the promises of God in him are yes, in him are amen. All the promises of God in Christ, they are yes, and in Christ, they are amen. In other words, all the promises of God has been settled already. That in Christ Jesus, the answer is yes. And amen means so shall it be. Anytime we see the word amen, it means so shall it be. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. In other words, God will not say no to us. God will not say no. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. And he said, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, in other words, the word of God is settled in heaven, but the word of God is not settled on this earth. The word of God is not settled in our lives. The word of God is not settled in our families, in our marriages, and all those places until we enforce the word of God. Until we enforce the word of God. The word of God suffered opposition. The word of God suffered violence. The word of God suffers great resistance. And so it takes men and women who will stand upon the word to enforce the word. So the Bible says the word of God is settled in heaven, but on this earth is not settled. The word of God is settled. God has made up his mind concerning us. God, when we came to him, the Bible said a certain man prepared a dinner and he bid many to come in. And when they said, he said, "Go and tell them, behold, all things are ready." Before we became born again, all things have been made ready for our enjoyment. Everything in Christ Jesus was made ready for our enjoyment. He said, a certain man prepared a dinner. He prepared a feast. Christianity is like a feast. Christianity is like a dinner. He said, a certain man prepared a dinner. He prepared a feast, a banquet. And he told his servants to go out and bid many to come in. He said, invite as many people as you can find. Christianity is like a feast. It's like a great banquet. And many are those who have been invited to the banquet. He said, go and tell them, behold, all things are ready. The things for our enjoyment, the things for our preservation, the things for our protection, the things for our guidance, they are already ready. And so we have been called to come and enjoy. Christianity is God bidding many to come through the blood of Jesus, through Christ Jesus, to come and have relationship with him, with blessings and with benefits, daily benefits, daily benefits. And the Bible makes us understand that these benefits, these blessings, he said, forever thy word is settled in heaven. Listen carefully. God has already made up his mind about us. God has already made up his mind that we are blessed, we are prosperous, we are lifted. He has made up his mind about us that he's going to favor us. He's made up his mind about us that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And those words are settled in heaven. But in our everyday lives, in our families, in our ministries, in our marriages, in our going out, in our coming in, the word is already settled in heaven. But we have to enforce the word on this earth. We have to enforce the word in our homes. We have to enforce the word in our ministries. We have to enforce the word in the lives of our families. We have to enforce the word of God spoken over our lives, the word of God coming to us through his written word, the prophetic word of God that has come upon us is settled in heaven. But in this earth, we must war, we must fight, we must make sure this word comes to pass. And that's why the Bible says, you would fight the good fight of faith. In other words, we must exercise our authority through prayer, and faith in prayer is part of exercising our authority, so that which God has said about us, that which God has said about his church, that which God has said about his children shall come to pass in the lives of his people. So forever that word is settled in heaven, but on earth we have to enforce the word so that it will manifest, it will show forth, it will speak forth in our lives. And he said, all the promises of God, not some, all the promises of God, I wish above all things that you prosper, you be in good health, all the promises of God, all the promises of God. Be still and know I am God. I will fight for you. Oh, they shall gather together, but not by me. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise up against you, yes, you shall rise and condemn it. They are all promises made by God. All the promises. You shall be the head. You shall not be the tail. You shall be above. All the promises of God. With long life I will satisfy you. And I'm the Lord that healed thee. By his stripes we were healed. He himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And by his stripes we were healed. All the promises of God. All of them. In Christ Jesus, the answer is yes. In Christ Jesus, the answer is amen. So, beloved, we need to understand, before we approach God in prayer, we must already know God's posture. We must already know God's position. We must already know God's mind concerning his children. When it comes to asking, and when it comes to asking, he will not give us stone when we ask for bread. He will not give us snake when we ask for fish. He will not give us scorpion when we ask for egg. So God's mind is that he has given good things to his children. He has prepared good things for us. He said, come and enjoy. He bid many to come in. And he said, behold, all things are ready. So when it comes to God, he answers, he gives to his children, he gives every good and perfect gift, comes from God. And so we must know that when we are praying, God would answer our prayer. He will not say no. Once it is in his will, he will say yes. So the will of God is the word of God. Now, when we want to pray, and we want to pray in faith, after coming to terms with the fact that God has already made his mind about us, and the mind of God about us is welfare. He said in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. It's a thought of peace and welfare. It's a thought of peace and not welfare, not of evil. He said, to give you an expected end, to give you a hope. So we know the mind about his children. God wants us to do well. God wants us to excel. God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to reign in this life. God wants us to show forth his praises. He wants us to show forth his goodness. And in prayer, when we pray, we exercise that authority so that the things that doesn't seem to be manifesting or showing forth in our lives in the physical, we can bring them into the realms of the physical. We can enforce them. We can bring them to make sure that by prayer, we act upon the word so that it will manifest in our lives. Praise God. How do we build our faith in prayer? Having gone through this, having come to terms with all this, the first thing we need is a desire. Now, desire is an inner longing. It's an inner yearning. It's an inner drive towards the achievement of a goal or to acquire something or to become something. The Bible says in Mark 11 verse 24, it says, whatsoever ye desire when you pray. Now, the reason why sometimes when we pray, we are not able to make impact in our prayer is that our prayer is not moved by desire. We don't have a strong inner drive. We don't have a burning drive. We don't have a burning desire. We don't have a desire to see our lives transformed. We don't have a burning desire to see our families transformed. We don't have a burning desire to see our nations transformed. We don't have a burning desire to see God using us. Most of the time we pray casually. You know, the Bible says when it comes to prayer, there is the asking, there is the seeking, and there is the knocking. In other words, there is increasing intensity in prayer. You either ask, which is casual, you seek, you go deeper a little, and you knock, it is more aggressive and more purposeful. But what I'm trying to say is that the first step in praying in faith, having come to terms with the fact that God will always say yes in accordance with his word and his will, is that you need to have a desire. When you don't have a desire, you cannot pray. Now, the Bible talks about Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah was going to the temple all the time. Every time Hannah was going to the temple, she was making sacrifices. Hannah was married to Elkanah, and Hannah was not bringing forth. And the Bible said they were making mockery of her. All the times her rival, Penina, would be making fun of her. But one day, Hannah got to the temple. And when Hannah got to the temple, she was fed up. She had a desire. When she was praying with a desire, they thought she was drunk. In fact, she came to the point where she was fed up with the situation. She was fed up with the circumstances. She had a strong desire. She had a strong burning. She needed a child. She needed a son so badly. And the desire was translated into prayer. When our desires are overflowing, when we have strong desires, we translate our desires into prayer. When a burning desire is translated into prayer, people will not understand us until we get to the point where we are fed up with the situations of our marriages, until we are fed up with the situations of our ministries, until we are fed up with the situations in our finances, until we are fed up in the situation in the church, that we want to see a vibrant, revived church, a church that is on fire for God, until we are fed up with the number of souls that are being won, and we receive a desire, a yearning, things will not be turned around. But when we have a desire, when we have a desire and we pray, the Bible says, whatsoever you desire, we must cultivate a desire. You must desire something. You must desire to see the hand of God. You must desire to see your life transformed. The Bible talks about Jabez. Jabez had a desire. In the First Chronicles chapter 4, the Bible talks about a man who was born in poverty. He was born in shame. He was born in pain. His mother gave birth to him. Even his name was as a result of being given birth in pain. And when he was growing, the Bible says, Jabez looked around him and there was no sign of success among the people from his background. And Jabez said no. He had a desire to change his life. He had a desire to be great. And through that desire, Jabez prayed. Listen carefully, my dear brother, my dear sister watching me. Beloved, you can change your life. The God we serve is a God who is able to change our lives, change our circumstances. He's able to lift up the needy and the poor and place them among the princes of his people. He lifts up the needy from the dunghill. Listen, God can change your life. It doesn't matter who gave birth to you. It doesn't matter where you are coming from. It doesn't matter the mistakes you have made. It doesn't matter your background. Maybe you were born in poverty. Maybe you were born without a father. You were born as a bastard. Maybe good things doesn't seem to come from your background. But I came to tell you, the Bible makes us understand, whatsoever you desire. Hannah had a desire. Jabez had a desire. Everyone who had changed their lives in the Bible had a desire. The Bible says there was a man called Hezekiah, and the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, listen, put your house in order, for you shall surely die. But Hezekiah had a desire to live again. So Hezekiah went to God and prayed. And when he prayed with a desire, God changed his life. God turned things around. Listen carefully. We need to have a desire. We need to have a desire. We need to keep our focus and attention on a desire. And if we are walking in the word of God, if we allow the word of God to dwell in our hearts and fill our hearts, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, the desire we'll have will be a godly desire. And so, beloved, when you fellowship with God, the desires of God becomes your desire. And when the desires of God becomes your desire, you need to translate these desires into prayer. You need to translate this desire into persistent intercession, supplication, and warfare. And as you do so, things are going to change. Things are going to change. If your desires are coming from God, it is a good desire. desire, but still you need a desire to pray. God does not waste his anointing. The Bible says, I will pour water on thirsty ground, and he that is thirsty, he said, those who are thirsty and hunger after righteousness, they are the people I will fill. God does not waste his anointing. God does not waste his power. God does not waste answers to prayer. He looks for people who have a desire, who mean business. If you will mean business with God this season, if you will mean business with God this month, if you will mean business with God this year, you are saying that things are behind. You are saying that things must be transformed. If you will mean business with God and you will have a desire and say, Lord, I have a desire, I want things to turn around for me, something is going to happen. We must have a desire. And our desire must be scriptural, must be godly. It must be in line with the will of God. And once you abide in him, his words abide in you, your desires will be of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number two, how can we pray faith-filled prayers? Number two, we must be specific in our request. You know, sometimes when we pray, we are not specific in our request, but we need to be specific in our request. Glory to Jesus. We need to be specific in our request. Now, the Bible makes us understand in the book of Mark, in the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 46, we need to be specific in our desire. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, listen. Blind Bartimaeus heard about Jesus coming his way. He had already previously heard about Jesus. And what did he hear about Jesus? That he was the one who could open the eyes of the blind. He was the one who could heal the sick. He was the one who could bring deliverance, set the captives free. He was the one who could work miracles. God's power was at work in him. So he had heard about Jesus. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because he had heard about Jesus, he had faith. So as soon as he heard that Jesus was passing by, look at what blind Bartimaeus did. Blind Bartimaeus prayed and cried and shouted. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Now listen carefully. Most of the time when we pray and say, God, have mercy upon me, it is not specific prayer. You know, when we say, God, have mercy upon me, you are not being specific in your prayer. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, oh God, is not specific prayer in prayer. Specificity in prayer is not to say, God, just have mercy upon me. Blind Bartimaeus started and say, God, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, let me tell you something. When you say, Jesus, have mercy upon me, or when you say, God, have mercy upon me, you are not being specific. Because throughout the scriptures, we have seen the mercies of God demonstrated in different ways. If you have need for forgiveness, Jesus forgave sins. And people came and they bowed and they worshipped him and they prayed and they said, Lord God, have mercy upon me. And he forgave sins. So forgiveness of sins is a demonstration of mercy. We have seen a woman whose son was afflicted with demons coming to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on my daughter. The woman was in need of deliverance for the daughter. Yet the woman said, have mercy upon me. It was not specific. We've had people who have come and they say, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And they needed healing. But they said, Lord, have mercy. So when you pray and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, you are not being specific in your prayer. Because it could be for healing, it could be for deliverance, it could be for provision, forgiveness of sins. So when you say, have mercy upon me, you are not being specific in your prayer. You know, some of the time, some of you say, oh God, have mercy upon me, God, have mercy upon me. No, you are not being specific in your prayer. Now look at this one, verse 51 of Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now listen carefully. Obviously, wasn't it so obvious? A man who was a beggar, he was begging. A blind man sitting by the roadside who was begging. He was wearing a multicolored cloth and he was begging by the roadside. And then he shouted and said, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. Now, it could have been interpreted as in need of alms. It could have been misinterpreted as he needed money, because that was what he was begging for. So when you are begging, you can say, have mercy on me. So blind Bartimaeus said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. And when Jesus said, bring him closer, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Come on, somebody will say, but the man was a blind beggar. He was begging. You should know that he needed some arms. You should know that, well, why don't you just pray? Why don't you just cure him? Now listen carefully. We remember the passage about the man who was impotent in his feet, sitting at the gate of beautiful in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3. The Bible makes us understand when they were coming from the time of prayer and they encountered a man who was impotent in his feet. He looked on us. He said, Peter said, look on us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. You know, this man, Peter went in straight and Peter prayed for him and he received his healing. But in the case of Jesus, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Because he was begging for money. At the same time, he was blind and he was asking for alms. So it could have been the fact that he needed money. But Jesus asked him specifically. Jesus did not conclude. Now listen, you must know that God, he knows our needs before we ask. But God wants us to be specific in our asking. So if you want to pray prayers based on faith, you can have so many needs. Some of you have needs of this, some of you have needs of that. Some, even in one person, your needs are so many. Some of us, you have a need for healing, you have need for deliverance, you have need for divine direction, you have need for provision, you have need for some, all kinds of needs. And so when you say, God, have mercy upon me, you are praying so vaguely. Which of your needs do you want Jesus to tackle? He says, I know your needs, but he still asked blind Bartimaeus, what would you want me to do for you? It's about time we are specific in our prayers. It's about time we locate the scriptures, have a desire, and we are specific in our prayers. Because Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He had multiple needs. He had a need for forgiveness of sins. He had a need to be healed of his blindness. He had a need to be provided because he was begging. But he asked Jesus, have mercy. And Jesus said, what exactly do you want me to do for you? Now, my dear beloved, it's about time you stop praying, have mercy upon me. Because when you say have mercy upon me, it means a lot. It means it could be forgiveness of sins. It could be healing. It could be deliverance. It could be provision. It is multiple. You need to zoom in at one thing and say, Lord Jesus, I'm dealing with this particular issue in my life. When you finish, you go and deal with another thing. He's able to do far more exceedingly. But we need to be specific in our prayers. The book of Matthew chapter 6, look at what it says about our prayer. Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. When you pray, don't just be playing around with words. He said, when you pray, do not make use vain repetitions as the unbelievers do, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They speak so much, you don't even know what they want. They are praying, it's a mixture. When they lift up their voices, they are talking about their rent, they are talking about their marriage, they are talking about their children's school fees, they are talking about their car, they are talking about their health, they are talking about divine direction. They play around with words. They are just talking. They are talking, praying for some relative. They are talking for somebody who is in need. They are praying for them. They mix it with. He said, don't pray with vain repetitions, mixing the words like that. He said, when you pray, don't pray like that. You need to be specific in your prayer. He asked blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Praise God. He said, don't pray with vain repetitions. Verse 8, he said, you must know, therefore, that your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even pray. He said, God, our Father, he already knows the things we have need of before we even pray. He knows the things we are in need of before we even pray. In the case of blind Bartimaeus, Jesus obviously could see the man was blind. The man was begging. He knew that he had need for all these things. He said, when we come to God, let's not repeat ourselves, but let's be specific. Having cultivated a desire, standing upon the word of God, be specific in your prayer. Ask specifically. Pray using scriptures to address matters. You may have plenty needs, but listen, focus and pray specific prayers on one thing at a time. God would answer more than one prayer in your life. God is not bankrupt. God is not bankrupt. God is not running out of answers. He's not running out of answering our prayers. All the things in our lives, he will fulfill all of them. But he said, when you are praying, be focused, be specific, ask in faith, have a desire, and pray specific prayers. Most of the times, it is very important that you take one aspect of your life where you want to see the glory of God, and you give it the scriptures that it desires. You give it the attention it desires based on the word of God, and make sure that you break through in that area. Sometimes by breaking through in one area of your life, it will lead to a breakthrough in so many other areas of your life. You need to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, discernment, look for one aspect of your life where you need the glory of God to manifest, and give it the prayer attention through the scriptures it requires. And one area, when there is one breakthrough, multiple breakthroughs will come. When there is one miracle, it can give birth to so many other miracles. And so you don't need to give up. You don't need to be confused. You don't need to jump everything together and pray. You need to just take your time, take the word of God, look at your needs, look at the areas of your life where you desire the hand of God, you desire divine performance, you desire God's intervention, and then be specific, standing upon the word of God, which guarantees answers to your prayer. Which guarantees answers to your prayer. Amen. Praise God. You need to, after you've gotten your specificity, you need to know the word that you are standing upon. Get a word and stand upon the word. Look for scriptures that guarantees that God will meet your needs. Look for scriptures that addresses that area of your life for which you have a desire and for which you are being specific. For instance, maybe you have need for divine direction. You need divine direction in your life. So you need to go into the word of God and get scriptures which guarantees that your prayers will be answered. For instance, in Romans chapter 8 verse 14, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So as children of God, you will be led by your Father. And then the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17, he said, I am your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I will teach you in the way that you will go. And I will lead you, for I know what is best for you. Now, in other words, God is saying there is a guarantee for divine direction. In the olden days, when God was leading the Israelites from the land of bondage, the Bible makes us understand he was unto them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, divine direction is the will of God. God wants his children to be led. He doesn't want his children to walk in darkness. He doesn't want us to grow up around like blind people. He doesn't want us to be like bats, which are blind. He wants to open our eyes. He wants us to see. He wants to speak to us. He wants to lead us. In Psalm 32 verse 8, he said, I will lead you. I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you, and I will help you with my hands. He said he will guide us. So divine direction is the will of God. He said, my sheep heareth my voice, and they will hear my voice, and I will lead them. So divine direction is the will of God. So you are in need of divine direction. You will get scriptures which guarantees the fact that God will lead you in the way that you should go. And when you gather those scriptures, you don't just play around with that scripture. So I have need in my life, I look for the scriptures. Now the Bible says you have need for divine healing, or you have need for divine health. The Bible says that I will bless your bread and I will bless your water, and I will take sickness away from thy midst. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said, I am the Lord thy healer. He said, if you would diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, and you will serve the Lord, he will bless your bread and he will bless your water, and he will take away sickness from thy midst. So God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be healed. He said, by his stripes we were healed. The Bible says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. So when you see the word of God, he said, I will heal you of your wounds and I'll restore health unto you. So this is the word of God. It guarantees that healing is ours. Divine health is our portion. So when you are praying that you will receive your health and you will receive your healing, you are in the will of God. And you look for scriptures with guarantees that God wants us to be healed. He said, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders and let them anoint the sick with oil, praying the prayer of faith, and God will heal the sick. God will raise him up. In other words, God doesn't want sick people to be among his sheep. The Bible says they will move from strength to strength. Everyone that will show up and appear in Zion. The Bible says, and there was not a feeble person among them. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not a feeble person among them. So God wants us to be strong and healthy. God doesn't want us to be sick. He doesn't want us to be feeble. And so when you stand upon the word, you take the scriptures. He said, I am the Lord thy healer. I am the Lord thy healer thee. He said, I will bless your bread and water. He said, I will heal thy wounds and I'll restore health unto you. He said, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. You put the scriptures together. You put the scriptures together. Just put the scriptures together and tell yourself, this is what the word of God says about my life, about my situation, about my circumstances. By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. It has been proven medically that sicknesses and diseases are categorized under 39 headings. Whether it's infectious disease, whether it's malignancy, whether it is connective tissue disease, all the disease conditions, they have been categorized under 39 headings and but one. And so Jesus received 40 lashes, 40 lashes in his body. In other words, Jesus made provision for all our 39 different disease conditions, and he made provision for the ones which are yet to be discovered. Praise God. And so we can stand upon the word of God and tell ourselves, divine healing is our portion. Divine health is our portion. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be strong. And we stand upon the word. And when you get the scriptures like that, my dear brother, don't be in a hurry. You are going through a challenge in your life. Maybe your children are going wayward. The Bible makes us understand in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13. He said, come on, in righteousness you shall be established, and you shall be far from terror and of oppression. He said, great shall be the peace of your children. They shall be taught of the Lord. It says, I will contend with them that contend against thee and save thy children. So the Bible makes us understand, children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. So God's word makes us understand, our children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of our children. The Bible makes us understand, it shall be well with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. The Bible says, yes, this is the first commandment with a promise. So we claim the promises of God. We stand upon the promises of God. And when we receive the scriptures, that addresses the... Listen, you can pray standing upon God's word in every area of your life. Whether it's your finances, he says that, look, when you are a tither, he said he will open the windows of heaven, pour upon you blessings. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Apostle Paul said, not that I desire a gift, but that it shall abound to your own account. And my God shall supply all your needs. In other words, God will supply all our needs. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. So God is able to do far more in every aspect of our lives. There are scriptures that God has made available in every aspect of our lives, so that no matter the conditions, no matter the circumstances we go through, if you are going through temptation, the Bible says, for the Lord is faithful and he knows how to deliver the godly from temptation. Evil, God will deliver us from all evil. For the Lord would establish us and deliver us from all evil. So I'm talking about every aspect of our lives. If you are in need of wisdom, you can ask. The Bible says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. And this God who gives every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now, every aspect of our lives, every aspect, divine direction, health, finances, provision, every aspect, there is the word of God in the scriptures which addresses every area of our life. Every corner, every area. When you want to pray in faith, you go for this word. You search the scriptures. You look for scriptures which guarantees that God would meet you or addresses these various areas of your life. Is it an oppression? God is the one who came to set the captives free. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. He went around doing good, setting them who were oppressed of the devil free, for God was with him. God wants us to have freedom, deliverance. So every aspect of our life, anytime we encounter a challenge, we need to go into the word of God and bring the word before him. Bring the word before him. When you get the scriptures, don't be in a hurry. You need to now feed on these scriptures. You need to feed on these scriptures. You need to read the scriptures. You not only do you listen to the word. When you get a teaching that addresses your need, you need to keep listening to it. Whether it's on finances, every area of your life. When you get the word of God in that area, you need to keep reading the word to yourself. You need to keep listening to the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you keep hearing the word, the faith of in God's word in that area will begin to come and grow. If your need is in finances, you get messages on finances, you read books on finances, and you read the Bible, scriptures on finances, and your faith in finances will rise up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You keep reading the word. You don't just read the word. You have to now go into studying the word. So you begin to study about healing. You begin to study about health. You begin to study about divine direction. You collect books which have been authored by seasoned men of God, both alive and dead. And you combine it to the Bible. And you begin to get the revelational truth in those areas. And then you begin to grow your faith in that area. So you study. You should not just study. You must begin to memorize the scriptures. In our time, we don't want to memorize scriptures. But you need to keep on memorizing the scriptures. Because it is when you memorize the scriptures, that you keep speaking it to yourself, and you keep hearing yourself, that your faith is able to be built up. And then you meditate upon the word of God. Meditate upon the word. You need to meditate upon those words. When you get a hold of those scriptures, which addresses the area of your need, the area of your challenge or struggles, please, you can go into the word of God, take a pen, underline all those areas in your life, scriptures which addresses the challenges in all areas of your life which you are having difficulties with. All the areas of your life where you are having struggles. It could be finances, it could be healing, it could be deliverance, it could be divine direction, it could be sustenance, it could be fruitfulness. You take the word of God, the Bible, you take a pen, a tippex, underline all the scriptures that addresses that area of your life. And you need to keep reading those scriptures to yourself. You need to read those scriptures to yourself. And you need to study in that line. Get other supportive books, DVDs, study in that line. Keep studying in that line. And then begin to memorize the relevant scriptures. Because when you are praying, you need to use the scriptures. Father, it is written. Lord, it is written. You said in your word. You said in your word. You said in your word. It is written. It is written according to your word. And don't only memorize, but you must get to the point where you meditate upon the word of God. In other words, you break the word of God into that smallest component so that you can assimilate the word of God into your spirit being. You assimilate the word of God into your heart. He said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you." So you break the word of God into that smallest component. After memorization, you need to meditate upon the word. Let the word dwell in you. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you, in your heart, in your spirit, richly. When you meditate upon the word of God, faith is built up. Faith is strengthened. Faith soars higher. And let me tell you something. The Bible says, "And this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt be careful to meditate upon it day and night. And shall be careful to observe everything that is written therein." He said, "Then shall you make your way prosperous. Then shall you make your way prosperous. And you shall have good success." How is it going to happen? Meditation. In other words, you memorize the word. And you meditate upon the word to get into your heart. He said, when we meditate upon the word, we are going to make our way prosperous. And we shall have good success. It did not say God will make. He said, we will make our way prosperous and we shall have good success. So when we meditate upon the word, we pray with the word, we speak for the word, we stand upon the word, we will make our ways prosperous and we shall have good success. Praise God. Look at the Bible, Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. You know, the first one was Joshua 1:8, but this one is Psalm 1, verse 1 to 5. He said, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit on the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the law. He meditates upon it day and night. He shall be like a tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." He said, "And it shall bear fruit in its season, and its leaves will never wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The word of God which you are meditating, the Bible says, "And whatsoever you do, you shall prosper." So if we want to know the keys for effective prayer, is having come into terms that God's promises are yea and amen, and forever the word of God is settled in heaven, you go into the word of God, have a desire, be specific in your request, and then look for scriptures that assures and guarantees answers prayer in those areas of your life, and then you begin to meditate upon these scriptures. You first read these scriptures, and then you study these scriptures, you hear, you read, and then you study, and then you memorize, and you meditate. You meditate. And then when you begin to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, you are that sure, because your confidence is not in your ability. Your confidence is not what others have said or what others are saying, but your confidence is in the word of God. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. One more time. It's always an excitement to share the word of God. Anytime the word of God comes, we are never the same. I'm lifted to another level. I believe that you've also been lifted to another level. I want us to pray. Father, I pray with your son. I pray with your daughter. I pray with that viewer there. I ask that Lord, you perfect everything that concerns them. I agree with them in areas of their lives where they are believing you for a breakthrough. I ask that Lord, you come through for them and do in their lives what no man can do and take all the glory. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for your household that God's purposes concerning your life will be established and accomplished in Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Thank you for joining us. One more time, next week, God willing, I'm going to come your way this same time, and we are going to have feast together in the word of God. God bless you.